thoughts you need to bring in. And that thought is this. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. I might not know everything. I might not know everything. What I know may not be all there is to know. I may not know everything. You do not have to believe these ideas. You don't have to accept these ideas or welcome these ideas. Some of these ideas may be hard to believe and startling. You're not being asked to analyze the ideas at all. If you use the ideas will show you that they are true. The ideas will show you that they are true. Let's turn to page 247. If you got the textbooks, the section called The Two Emotions.
Keep an eye on this row.
Okay. Got two emotions is the section we're going to cover tonight. On page 247. And it's a couple of extra books up front, longer copies. Since I have said you only have two emotions. And the two emotions that we have are love and fear. Of Course in Miracles teaches that we only have two feelings, love and fear. Love is changeless, but it's something you continually exchange. Love doesn't change. If I love you, it doesn't change. And if I love you, it's a feeling that's continually exchanged. I'm not holding it back. I'm not withholding. And if it's love, it comes from what lasts forever. And it is given to us who last forever. So our spiritual identity lasts forever. By never changing your love and always continually exchanging your love, that's how you extend your love. And the more you give it, the more it increases. So when you say, I love someone, you're saying, I'm going to give you something that never changes. I'm going to give you something that's going to be continually exchanged. And I'm giving you something that's permanent. I love you. I'm giving you something that will never change, that I'm not going to withhold, and it's going to last forever. That's the one emotion. That's love. Then it says, the other, which is what? Fear, okay? He says, fear has many forms. So fear comes in a lot of different appearances, okay? Because each one of us have our own individual illusions. So my fear can come in a different appearance than your fear, because I got my own individual fears and you got your own individual fears. So because you got your individual fears and I got my individual fears, that's why I look like it can be a whole lot of different fears, because individual illusions differ. Okay? Greatly. He says, but all fears have one thing in common. All fears are insane. So the Course is saying either you're experiencing love or you're experiencing insanity. We either experiencing love or we're experiencing insanity. We either experiencing love or we either experiencing fear. If it's love, it'll never change. If I love you, it will never change. If I really love you, it will never change. If I really love you, it will never change. If I really love you, it's going to be continually exchanged. Continually exchanged. If I love you, I'm going to give it, we're going to exchange it, and because you're giving me something permanent, and I'm giving you something permanent, and I'm giving you something all the time that's great, and you're giving me something all the time that's great, it's just going to increase. So if it's love, it only increases. If it's fear, then you got a lot of different illusions and a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different fears, and he says it's insane. Then the Course says, let me share with you what a fear is, so we can be clear. First of all, if you're feeling a fear, then a fear is made up of sights that aren't seen. Fears are made up by sounds that are not heard. If you feel fear, you're experiencing something that's made up of sights that are not seen, sounds that are not heard. In other words, if you live in fear, you live in a private world that can't be shared. Mm-hmm. So if you're in fear, it looks like you're in your own private world. Mm-hmm. Full of sights and sounds that nobody else hears but you. Yeah. Let me give you a classic example. I had a great experience, a lesson that happened on the way over here tonight. It was really intense. I was driving down 13th, getting ready to come over here, and I looked up, and there was a car headed the wrong way down the runway, one-way street, headed toward me and everybody else. I mean, it's a lot of traffic. So they, of course, see all of us coming, so they swing their car and try to turn around, right? So I see the guy trying to turn around, which means he has to back out in the traffic, so I stop to let him in, right? So he's like just kind of sitting there, and looked like trying to decide whether or not he was going to back up or not, because he was whoever was stopped anyway. So people started, as great my great Colorado self is, with full of patience. Within 2 seconds, and I'm hearing squonk, 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 as if you would stop for no reason. Which is the first thing that always trips me out when people are like honking their horns. I think I'll just stop in the middle of 13th Street for no reason and hold up traffic. So common sense ought to say the traffic stopped and stopped for a reason. But he says we're in an insane world where everybody's sitting in the car with their own personal private thoughts, right? Okay? So this is what happens. So I honk my horn at the person who needed to go ahead and back up and go the right way, right? So I honk at him, right? So he didn't move, so I drove on, right? So everybody driving. All of a sudden, this car comes up beside me. And this girl was screaming out, "You don't learn how to drive, you mill, you know." So she was like going, just completely going out, calling me everything that she could possibly think of. I hadn't had that happen in years, because I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual teacher. Don't you know? So anyway. So anyway, it gets better. It is a perfect example of what it's saying here. Fears come in many forms. The content of individual, of course, calls fears illusions. The content of individual fears differ greatly. The content of different false ideas vary greatly. He said, but it's insane. It's made up of sights that are not seen and sounds that are not heard. So, in other words, whatever they were upset with me about, they had made up in their own mind. That there was their own private thoughts in their own private world. So they saw something in me that didn't even happen, and they obviously heard something that wasn't ever even said, or else they would know it was nothing to be upset about. You see what I'm saying? So they're acting from their own fears, just like this book is saying. Mm-hmm. So the girl called me everything, you know, and I feel this adrenaline, you know, this adrenaline rush mm-hmm. that comes over you and you just want to go off. You know, I said it started at my toes. I didn't know what adrenaline or an orgasm, but anyway. So I turned around and I yelled out, "God bless you!" And so we pulled up to the red light. All of a sudden, this guy jumped out of the car,
uh-oh,
and he's going to come up there. And he's going to kick my ass, okay? So he comes up.
Out of her car?
Out of the back of the car, in the back seat. It's like three guys and a girl. So they like look like, you know, the normal little, you know, hip hop, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to kick your butt, you know, kind of, you know. So anyway, I'm like, so the guy jumps out of the car, and he's coming right at me, right? And it's like a real, now this is the person that's mad at me because I was holding up traffic. Think about that. Get out of the car at a traffic light to confront me and hold up what? Traffic. So I see him coming, and he said, what you say? I said, God bless you. And he went, yeah. And he opened the door and he got back in the car. And then everybody was sitting there. I looked at all of them. I said, yeah, somebody was in front of me. You know, that's what was happening right there. Somebody was in front of me and I couldn't move. And they were just looking at me. And then we drove off. They were right beside me, which gave me plenty of opportunity to say something else that was a fear, that was a call for love. And they didn't say another word. That was such a trippy experience.
Wow.
But it was such an example of the truth. You know, it's like even though a part of me wanted to say something else, the truth in me was stronger than the illusion. And so with all the force within my being that I would have wanted to cuss them out, it came out, God bless you! I mean, just as loud, just like you would go, you so-and-so, that's right, God bless you! And so he thought, so in his own mind, he heard a sound that wasn't said, right? Which means she thought I had said something insulting, just like it said. In a fear, wow, you're hearing things that's not being said.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually there blessing them.
Yeah.
He's ready to come out, okay? And so when he heard the truth, it stopped him in his tracks. Because even in his insane mind, it didn't make sense to attack somebody that was blessing him.
Thank God.
Because you know, even as I was telling him what I really said, I was rolling the window up too. Okay, so then we drive on, and so I started to think about it, just like you said, insane, right? A private world, right? And I kept thinking, I said, that person was totally insane. They were willing to risk their lives over nothing. When that guy walked up to me, he didn't know me. He didn't know if I could have had a gun in the car. I could have been just as psycho as him. I could have been a policeman. I could have attacked. I could have killed him. He didn't know what he was walking up on when he jumped out that car and let me know he was coming to attack. And that to me was the part that blew my mind. It was like he was so insane. Then I remembered that it's called being a man. It's called being a man. I remember when I was a man. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you look at it. You look at things in terms of competition, in terms of who can be the toughest, in terms of who can never show in the weakness. You don't know how many men I've met in my lifetime that told me they're not afraid of anything. Anybody that tells me that, I feel like I don't need to ride home with them. They're so deep in denial that anything could happen to them. But I also know men, that's what we're supposed to say. That's how we're supposed to act. So it was a trip. And then the Holy Spirit flashed a picture of the guy back in my face again when he was walking toward me. And showed me that he was really completely terrified. Mm-hmm. That he was being a man, but he was also terrified. He didn't really know what he was walking up on, even though he had to act like he had total confidence. And when Spirit flashed it back, he let me see that that's just what it was. Mm-hmm. Fear. That the only thing that happened was a fear. And then right before the whole thing occurred, I was thinking about something that I was upset about, that I wish was different. And I wasn't in a gratitude place, and I was in an attack place in my own mind. And then, wham, immediately. You know, that's one of the things about me right now. After studying this stuff for 30 years and working on it, I get instantaneous reflections of my thoughts. There's not that time lag that most people have that allows them to forget that they're the ones that's creating what's happening to them. So they get a chance to think that what's happening to them has nothing to do with them, because the time lag between when they think a fearful thought or angry thought or an attack thought and when they get it back is so far apart, they think they're just a victim of things that's happening to them. And then as you begin to wake up, you start to see it happens faster. You know, you're loving, and then you get the loving reflection back quick. You're fearful and angry, you get the fearful and angry, and it comes faster and faster and faster and faster, because you're beginning to take responsibility for your creations, which allows you to have instantaneous satisfaction one day. But up until it gets to that day, you have to go through the experience of having both of your thoughts come back at you quicker and faster. Wow. So by me hollering out, God, because I was in my ego when I hung my horn. See, when I was going blah, 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 part of that was toward wanting to get the people, the guy to turn his car around. And another part was, it was my answer to the person that was honking at me behind me. So it was like, I was trying to pretend that I really wasn't in my ego too. That I, you know what I'm saying? And so I came out of that attack. So I attacked him with my horn, and then I look up, and that's the car that's beside me, and then the light turned red. So right then I had a choice. Right then I could be having an entirely different experience than the one that I'm having with you right now. Do you hear me? We hear what I'm saying? Yeah. That was one of those intersection points where you, the branching of the road, where you decide whether or not to take your experience in one direction or the other direction. Mm-hmm. And thank God, through my study of the Course in Miracles, I have given myself the truth so much that even when I'm crazy, the truth will come through anyway. Mm-hmm. That's why I kept on saying it, even when it looked like it didn't work all the time and it didn't look like things was going the way I wanted it to go. It's like you planting a seed, you're giving birth to something that's going to protect you one day, but it needs to be nurtured just like a farmer nurtures a plant. You got to nurture the truth that you're trying to learn. You can't just plant it and then water it every 3 months. You can't say you want a new thought system and it's a hobby. It doesn't have any priority whatsoever. Didn't expect to get the protection of it. That's so funny, but that's the way it is. So anyway, the insanity that I saw in him, and at the same time watching myself say the truth in spite of what I was feeling, was a powerful experience. So to me, it completely fits in. So here's the end point I'm trying to make. Wherever you feel fear, you are responding to sights that are not happening and sounds that are not happening. And everything you're upset about is going on only in your own mind. Everything you're upset about right now, afraid about right now, fearing right now, worried about right now, it's only happening in your own mind. And it's made up, of sights that are not being seen and sounds that are not being heard. And it's a story you're telling yourself in your mind, just like they told themselves a story about what was going on with me, and they were ready to attack me when they drove up there because of their own misperceptions. And all attack comes from misperception. All attack. But we want to think there are some situations that is justified, and because we want to believe there's some situations that is justified, we don't realize that that creates a situation where we have to have the whole thought system. You can't just have a little piece of the pie. Either you're about attack or you're not about attack. You can't be a little bit about it, because if you're a little bit about it, then you're still about it. So I cannot be in a completely safe life until I'm a completely safe being. So in that putting, see, that's what I'm saying. And then the buck stops here all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh my God, that I'm the one that's got to create the safety, but I got a bunch of folk I don't like that I'm mad at, that I hate, that I grievances toward, and I don't want them to be happy, and everything else. And I feel justified about that. So I got all these fears and attack thoughts in my body, and yet, that if that's where the attack is coming from, then I am screwed. So what do I do? You have to go to your protection. You have to go to your teacher. You have to go to the part of you that knows the truth more than you do, that's more loving than you, more powerful than you, can protect you like a mother protects a child while a child is learning how to take care of itself. And that's, and so when you say you want to go to a more loving self, a more prosperous self, a more powerful self, then you're talking about developing abilities that are potentials that you haven't done yet. And just like a little child, you need something to protect you while you try to get your act together. That's what happens with the Holy Spirit, the Course. We're not in this by ourselves. We're not trying to do this by ourselves. So it's okay to know that you still got attack thoughts in you and still be protected and safe, because your goal is no longer to be a person that attacks. That's not what you want to be. That joker jumped out the car believing attack was salvation, that attack was strength, that it was going to make his life better. So he is going to experience so much pain in his life that is going to bring him to the realization that he's got to stop that. And nothing's going to protect him from it, because he wants it. And the Course says, God doesn't save us from what we want. God doesn't save us from what we want. If you want to be that way, then nothing's going to save you from the results of being that way. But if I go, you know, I got a temper and I don't want one. I got a drug problem and I don't want it. I'm a mean person and I want to be loving. Then that's no longer your intent. So then you're under the protection of your purpose. Your purpose protects you. That's what this book says. So your purpose protects you. You don't have to protect your purpose. Your purpose protects you. So wasn't that a trip, though, to see how they made that up in their mind, right? And I have to be honest with myself. How many times have I done the same thing? How many times have I done this? Where am I doing that same thing right now? And the Course says, well, I'll tell you where. It's wherever you feel a lack of peace and fear. That's where you're doing it right now. And that's when my mind wants to explode, because all of a sudden my perception will validate my misperception. So my perception will say, you're right. You're justified in feeling the way that you feel right now. Look at this, and look at that, and look at this. See, your perception will validate your intent. So if you want to feel justified in continuing to attack yourself and others, your perception will show you all the reasons why you should feel justified in attacking others. That's what's such a trip about this life that we're living. We don't realize that it is just a three-dimensional mirror of our own consciousness. This is the original holiday. And when you wake up, and when I wake up from that, is when our lives will become beautiful. Okay, so it says that we're in a private world that cannot be shared. And then it says, when you're in a fear, he says they're meaningful only to their maker. That's deep. Your fears just mean something to you. what you're upset about just means something to you. It doesn't necessarily mean nothing to me that you're upset. So if you're dealing with something that's a fear, the way you can tell it's a fear is you're the only one experiencing it. And if you're the only one experiencing it, the court says then it's obviously something that doesn't have any meaning at all. Because anything that has real meaning has to be something that affects all of us. If somebody got rid of all the oxygen in the room, I don't care how different we are, all of us probably would pass out dead at the level of the body. So it's something about oxygen that's real. But you being upset about your boss not giving you a raise, I don't know about it. It ain't real to nobody but you, and it doesn't affect nobody but you, so you know it's your own fear. The fact that you have to tell me about your guilt means it doesn't exist. Because I wouldn't know anything about it until you told me. If it was real, I'd know it without you telling me. So what you're doing through exchanging your guilt is just making it increase. Remember it says, continually exchange, given, increased. See, that person could have called me all those names, and I could have called them all those names, and then they would have called me all those names, and it would have escalated, and it would have gotten larger and larger and larger and larger. And so that's why conflict and pain and anger and guilt increases in people's lives, is because they share the fear, but they don't share the love. I'll tell you, I hate you quicker than I say I love you. You could probably say what you don't like about me easier than you could say what you do like about me. In the way that people do it on the average level, it's more things for me to criticize than it is for me to things for me to be grateful for. So then I'm wondering why it increases in my life. It increases in my life because it's what I'm exchanging. I'll give you a piece of my mind, but I won't give you a piece of my heart. I'm sick of it. Sick of it in myself. I'm not waiting around for nobody else to love me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Nah. You want to do it?
Yes.
You want to do it for yourself?
Yeah.
You want to do it for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to be able to know the difference between love and fear. We have to be willing to admit where we have fear, we must be also in our insanity. So if you really want to clear up something, it's easy to clear it up after you calm down. Yes.
Sometimes I know I'm in my insane mind,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is bothered, and I know I'm making, my sharing my guilt and fear and all that. And why do you just go to my source and I pray? Is that what I do now? Listen to something.
When you're in your insanity, you're in it. So that's why you have to master forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to come to your sane mind while you're in your insane mind.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to happen in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in your insane mind, then you're going to go ahead and do something insane.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your partially insane mind, is when you can take a second to pause and breathe and come up with another answer that you want to say in that situation. Like my partially sane mind with God bless you. You see what I mean? So I can't tell you specifically what to do. All I can share with you that if you just give yourself that pause, if you just take a minute to breathe, that's what I try to do when I'm really getting angry and upset, is I try to take a deep breath. Just go, because all you need is just an instant for Holy Spirit, your right mind, to come through to give you another way to look at it. Don't take a lot of time. It just takes an instant. So if you could just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get in the habit of when you're most upset, being quiet, you would be an enlightened master. I'm serious. It's like if I could have aborted the whole thing altogether by not even saying God bless you. Silence would have solved the whole thing. She could have went and done her little rave, and then at some point ran up a tree And then my ego would have been glad. And I wouldn't have had to touch her, so I wouldn't have had no guilt. So that's the thing about the part of me that wants vengeance. I know that person being themselves is all the vengeance that they could ever need. So it wouldn't even be no need for me to touch her. Just listen at how she yelled at me. Let me know her life was hell. Because you can't be that crazy and have a peaceful life. Mm-hmm. Just her being in her life was enough punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't have to do anything to her if I was in my right mind, except really bless her, because this child of God is in total misery. Because anybody with that type of attitude knows nothing about relationships. And so all of their relationships are really not real. And they're going through a lot of fear and pain. That's why she yelled at me, because she was in pain. And she wasn't, it didn't have nothing to do with me. She was upset about something else in her life that was missing. And I was just a safe, convenient way for her to get that energy off. That's a trip, man. But I want to go on with this because it really gets deeper, okay? Because what it's doing is it's describing the difference between love and fear, okay? And so it says, when you're in a fear, it makes up a private world that cannot be shared. And so they, the fears, are meaningful only to their maker. So something that has meaning only to you doesn't really have any meaning at all. So the court says, in a fearful world, their maker moves alone because only he perceives them. I'm in a world that it looks like I'm alone because nobody is seeing my fears but me. So it looks like I'm in my own little Earl Purdy world with Earl's little fears. Anybody else got one?
Yeah.
Okay, then it goes, says, now this is deep. This is one of the deepest core sections you can ever read. Some of y'all is going to fry you, and that's all right. I love you. I just put a little jelly and some toast around you and eat you. Okay, now, each person peoples his own world. Okay, you making up your own world. He says, then you're going to populate your personal world. And then it says, you're going to populate your personal world with figures from your individual past. So we're making up our own world, and we are seeing everybody in terms of our past with them and our past experiences. Everybody with me on that? Okay, I'm in my own world, but it's full of my own past thoughts. Would y'all be willing to admit that you think a lot about what happened in the past? Okay. Or what's going to happen in the future? Okay. Then the course says, but yet the figures that you see were never real. Because you made it up. Oh, I love it. It's not real because everything that you think about anybody from the past is made up only of your reactions to them. And not their reactions to you. Like if I have a relationship with Elizabeth, and I think about Elizabeth, and I go, oh man, Elizabeth. You know, Elizabeth's been a really loving, supportive person that's been coming to my class, and I'm gonna really miss having her here because she's so inspirational to me. And you know, I feel like, damn, no matter what I'm getting ready to say, she's ready to hear it. No matter what, she's ready to hear it, you know. And that just makes me, I make myself feel so good. Now, so I'm thinking about my past experiences with Elizabeth, right? But what I'm sharing with you, it's my reactions to Elizabeth. I don't know how Elizabeth was reacting to me. That's a very important point. Because sometimes when I think I'm thinking about people from my past, I just assume I also know how they were feeling about it too. You know, like I had a good time with you, so I just assume you had a good time with me. I got this good feeling about you, so you know. And you could have been like praying for me to leave. But you don't even know it because all you remembering is your past reaction. So remember that when you think about your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your teacher, your friend, anybody from your past, you are not remembering their inner reactions to you. You're just remembering how you felt about them. And that's why the people in your past and in your world don't exist. Should I get smoke? Smoke coming out, you know what I'm saying? That's what I like about the course, though. It makes the smoke come out. You need to be doing something where the smoke come out your ears. Because the truth is, every one of us is capable of seeing the truth of what I just said. If you say you remember me, you're remembering your reaction to me. So what you're really remembering is your own fantasy about me. So you don't really know what was going on with me. So your world is not peopled by the people that they really were. Your world is peopled by your past perceptions of what you think they were and how you felt about them. And that's all you holding against people is the picture you made up.
Especially when they won't tell you. When they won't communicate who they are.
You know who they are. It's not, as a matter of fact, if you want to move really fast on the spiritual path, forget about other people. Don't be concerned about whether other people are getting it or other people understand what you're saying or other people are going to respond. It's not about other people. Other people, that's just a smoke screen to keep you from realizing where the power really lies, which is in your ability to change your perception about what happened. Because if the past that you're reacting to is really just a story in your mind, well, you can give yourself a new story and change your whole past. It's just a story anyway. When I listen to my son tell me what he thinks about what happened when he was a kid and who he thought I was, it has no validity. But he really believes it. So he's relating to a father that doesn't exist. And at any given time, if he's willing to let go of his judgment, he can see the father that does exist. And that's our relationship to God. Just as soon as we're willing to let go of our perceptions about what's true and what's God and what's spirit and what everything is, as soon as we're willing to let go of our story, then the real can show itself. Just like his father could show himself to him when he let go of his story about what his father is. The same is true for us. It's just as true for us in our relationship to our Creator. Okay, so that's, the course defines that as fear. Take a breath. What's weird is that you can understand it.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious.
It's obvious.
If you walked in here tonight and you didn't like me, instantly, you would have to be telling yourself something that's making you not like me because you don't even know me. You haven't had a conversation with me. So you would have to be reacting to something that's not there. And that's all the book is saying. Whenever you're upset, whenever you're feeling fear, if your life is crappy, you don't like what's going on, nothing seems to go right, you are a person living in a private world of fear that is completely possessed by nothing but your beliefs that are not true that you've been giving yourself for a long time. Nobody else knows about it until you tell them because it doesn't exist anywhere but in your own mind. That's why you got to tell me what you're upset about. I don't just walk in here knowing. So it's got to be going on in your mind because nobody else in the room can tell you what it is. So it must be just going on in your mind. And if you see me, I must be outside of your perception of yourself and what you think is going on. I really do exist, but I exist outside of your story. You see what I'm talking about? I'm saying there is a real world of love that is waiting for you outside of all of your perceptions that you're telling yourself right now. That there are loving people outside your perception of people that you can't trust. They really do exist. He met one at the light. He met one at the light. If I had met him the way he met me, then I wouldn't have been a demonstrator of God. But I'm glad I didn't have to think about it. I'm glad I didn't have to go, what would the course say I should do if he's walking up to the car? You know, which would be a great thing at first if I had to learn how to do that. But because I would do it so much in situations that weren't so extreme, the course promises that when you come into emergency situations, then that truth will just show up for you because you've been doing it all the rest of the time in these situations that wasn't so challenging. But when you want to apply it even in the little situations in your life, how in the world do you expect it to be there in the big, when the big shebang happens? You know, I'm not even using it in the little things. But all of a sudden now, I found out I got cancer and I would be able to be cured in 2 seconds by calling on God. You know, I didn't call on God when I couldn't find no toilet paper. It's amazing. You know, it's like a person that goes, I'm going to do the Olympics, but I won't even learn how to run around the block first. Thank God you can be picked up and carried. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's something greater than you that can pick you up and carry you and support you and love you and wipe your butt just like you did when you was a baby. That's right. That's right. Everybody in here had their butt wiped. And so we know that it is possible to have your butt wiped. And so it is time to have your life butt wiped. You need to turn your whole life over. Turn it over. You literally turn it over so your butt can be wiped. Because a lot of people say that, don't they? My life feels like crap. And of course it says, and you can be wiped off. There's one lesson that says, and God shall wipe away all tears. You know. But I'm so egotistical, man. I think I'm on my own. It's up to me, and I got to figure it all out, and I'm the one in charge, and I got to manipulate everything and everybody's out to get me, and I got to fix them, and I got to be careful, and I can't trust nobody, and I got to look out for myself no matter what. I'm on my own. Ah, the affirmation of the atheist. I got to do it by myself. The affirmation of the martyr. I'm being punished. Life is treating me really bad. Everything is out to get me. If I suffer enough, maybe one day, I know what, I'll suffer more than anybody else. And then I'll stand out. And I'll stand out in my suffering. And it'll be so horrible that even God have mercy on me. Because I'm suffering more than anybody. So I'll just look like this all day. I've been laughing since 1975. Sometimes spiritual people be the saddest people you ever want to talk to. Just the truth. You want to go on the quietest, most conservative, lifeless in their energy sometimes is everybody that's seeking God. Everybody's seeking joy. Everybody's seeking happiness. Somehow or another, they get it wired that being spiritual means being physically silent and unexpressive. And the more you just like that, you're obviously becoming spiritual. And I believe the most spiritual women I've ever met have been in clubs saying stuff like, back that ass up. My most spiritual friends are the ones who are not afraid to be themselves and to say anything and have joy and laughter and aliveness. And they're real and they don't hide things, you know, and they laugh and they communicate with you. Not somebody that would look and said that they're spiritual, look at me in the face and tell me they're doing fine and their heart's breaking because they think being spiritual means you hide. I'd rather have a guy show me immediately what's going on, like the guy jumped out the car, than somebody that feels exactly like that person does toward me, but smiling in my face and acting like they care about me. That's what I loved about being in the South. If white folk didn't like you, they just tell you, nigga, nigga, nigga. I don't like you. It wasn't hidden. You know what I mean? I'd rather know. But in a safe way. I'd rather know, but in a loving way. And then I couldn't have been called that unless I called somebody that, and that was just my karma, me receiving what I gave out myself. But you have to really be ready to open up on a spiritual level before you start accepting that everything in your experience is a reflection of something that you yourself have given in your past. Then that gets scary because then you don't know what you've done in your past, so you don't know what's headed your way. You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And then you go, well, what do? I came here to feel better. Now I'm more terrified than I was when I came in the door.
Yeah.
Again, the same thing. If your intention tonight becomes to love, if your intention tonight becomes to have peace, if your intention tonight becomes to join, if your intention tonight becomes to know your spiritual self, you have changed your purpose and your purpose will protect you. You're under the law of grace and you don't have to worry about what you did in the past when you were in fear and ignorance and insanity. But you have to change your mind now. You have to give yourself a new purpose now. You have to take a stand today that you're about peace and love within your life and not about fear. You don't have to know how to do it in every circumstance, but you must want that for yourself and others. I don't care what you've been in the past. I don't care what you've gone through in the past. Right now, you can make a new choice about what your purpose is. And the court says that a change of mind is nothing but a radical shift in purpose. Like when people say, I got to change my mind, he says, what you're really saying is, I got to have a radical shift in my purpose.
Yeah.
About what my life is about.
Yeah.
About the direction I want to go in. What I want to be real for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what changing your mind means.
Wow.
We know we can do that.
Ooh.
We know we can do that.
Mm.
So I'm going to finish this paragraph. All of you who are male bodies, can you relate to what I was saying about being a man?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, you know, what's the saying now? Don't be no bitch. Right? Is that right? Is that the truth? So now we got to be like even tougher. You know what I'm saying?
Unless you're gay.
You know. Oh, it's like.
And then I might be a bitch, but I ain't your bitch.
You know. However you want to look at it. However you want to look at it. But the point that I'm making is that a lot of times we feel like there's this role that we're supposed to live up to more than being who we really are in our heart. That's my point, you know. Tell you what, you can't enjoy being a man fully until you know you're more than a man. Because until then, you're too relevant. You're too serious. Like, the scariest woman on earth to me is a woman who thinks she's a woman. I will not ask for a date in my life depending on it. Because I know this is an asleep being who's looking at themselves in terms of what society and the world taught them they were. So they have to act out the script that I see everywhere. But if you know something, but you meet somebody and they know they're a spiritual being and they hear the way up to who they really are, and if they create their reality and if they're responsible, and it just so happens their expression of themselves is through a female body, now you're talking about a good time. You're talking about an incredible, extraordinary feminine energy. You know, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody whose perception of themselves is greater than what the world teaches. Not absolutely like what the world teaches. And I think you deserve better. I think you deserve somebody who gives you love that's permanent, that's continually exchanged, and only increases. Somebody who wants your good as much as they want their good. Someone who takes responsibility for their experience, just like you take responsibility for yours. Somebody that wants you to wake up to your joy and wants you to be yourself and wants you to be fulfilled as who you are, and just like you want that for them. I believe that's what you deserve. Someone who would never attack you. Someone who would never want to hurt you or manipulate you or hold grievances against you. That's what I believe you deserve.
Too.
I guarantee you, according to the course, the only person that's holding things up is you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole universe is like waiting to give you everything your heart desires. The only person that don't think you deserve it is you. And it can't happen unless you want it. So this is what you do. You give the part of you that wants it the power of attorney.
Yeah.
You say, the part of me that knows I deserve this, I want you to be in charge of my life, and I want you to overrule the part of myself that's so stupid that it thinks that I need to worry, be upset and miserable and unhappy and broke all the time. I want that part of my mind to be overruled by the part of my mind that loves me, which is called the Holy Spirit, which is called whatever you want to use. In other words, just overrule it. Give it to a high court. You can do that tonight, because that doesn't call for you to get enlightened tonight. See, everything I suggest in my classes will always be things you can do now. You won't come to an Earl Purdy class that's not a now class, because the future is nothing but a smoke screen and a defense and a trick to keep us from having what we want now. And the more you look forward in the future, that's the more you're saying you don't think you deserve it right now. That's all it witnesses to, is you a person who think you still need to suffer some more, and that's why your life is so future-oriented. I say you deserve it tonight. I say if you change your mind tonight, and you want to be a more loving person tonight, and you want to be a more peaceful person tonight, why can't you get the results of that tonight? Isn't that the same question? That's the kind of question the Course says. Yeah, okay, if you really change, why should you wait before you reap the benefits of it? Why do you think you still need to go through stuff before you actually have the benefit of your new teaching? Then I said, well, that's a good question. And then the Course comes right back. I'll tell you why. Because you still believe you need to suffer. You still think of yourself as guilty. You haven't let go of your own idea of your sinful nature yet. And so therefore you keep putting your happiness off in the future. So you don't settle for happiness in the future. You deserve more than better than happiness in the future. That's what people who don't love themselves want. I want it tonight. I want it now. That's like me saying the guy's walking up wanting to attack me, but I want to be safe from that in the future. No, I need to be safe from that then, in the now. So whatever it is you want, you need it now. What you're asking for, you need it now. You need security now. You need a sense of love and safety and fulfillment and purpose now. Loving relationships now. Peace with yourself now. But if you do want to put it in the future, then you can do my workshop. It's Saturday. And it's about the application of the stuff we're talking about. It's talking about getting deeper into it than we've ever gotten before. I'm introducing some stuff in this class that I've never introduced before. We're going to take it to a deeper level. Because, you know, this little 1 hour stuff just don't do it for me. How am I going to transform my entire consciousness in 60 minutes? And then most of that, my mind is drifting. But yet I am expecting this radical shift in my life, though. And I'm kind of wondering what's taking God so long. Between naps. aren't we hilarious? We're not guilty, we are comedians. We are funny. We're cute and funny. We really are. We really are. I'm telling you. Okay. We are. If you were to really look at you the way I'm looking at you, we look like innocent children. Mm-hmm. That's what we look like right now, you know. If you just really look at each other, you see we like innocent children. And what we don't realize is that we're still at that point where it's saying, 1 + 1 = 2. But I think I'm at doctorate level. So I'm wondering why the accolades aren't happening. I'm out of touch with what's really going on within myself. Wow. I'm fooling myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here to get rid of the deception by telling you that there's a world outside of your fear. There are people outside of your fear. There's fulfillment outside of your fear. There's safety outside of your fear. There's fun outside of your fear. You're living in a private world that you're making up, that's full of all your thoughts that you've made up since you were a child. and you remember your reactions to everybody in your life, and then projecting it on them as if that's the way it is today. So you might make some erroneous choices out of such a distorted perception. So the court says, you know how that works out in relationships? You're not attracted to somebody unless they remind you of somebody from your past. Hmm. And that's why you repeat the pattern, and it ends up being the same person with another name. Which is what? Just another person I'm dissatisfied with.
But better hair.
But
don't mention the butt. She might be crazy, but look at that butt. I overlook her insanity. We'll go to a workshop if I can just touch that butt. Now people looking at me like they don't know what I'm talking about. That's what you call self-deception. Okay, so if you spend with the same person again, if they change, see what I mean? They would never be dealing with the same person with you because you changed. Mm-hmm. So you can't judge anything about your future based on your past because you're not the person you were then. So you couldn't get the same results you got then. You weren't the way you are now then. So you can't use it as any proof about what could happen for you now. Let me do the love offering here while people still in any kind of a giving mood. You're going to do it the new way. Are you going to do it the old way when you leave here? Or are you going to do it the new way? Are you going to do the old way or are you going to do the new way? All right. Isn't the Course in Miracles deep?
Yeah.
This is deep, man.
Yeah.
And this really—it was just getting warmed up. This is—I'm gonna finish this at some point. Yeah, I'd like to really, really get this. I got a feeling that this section could be a section that transforms. I got a real strong feeling about that. I saw myself in this. Did you? Okay, take a breath right now. Please. Now there's a Course in Miracles lesson I'd like to say to you, and if you feel like saying it, you can. If you don't, that's perfectly okay. There is nothing to fear. 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 Now that doesn't say that you wouldn't think you felt it. This is not saying that we don't see ourselves as experiencing it. It's only telling us the truth about it. And that's what we want to tell each other, is the truth about it. It doesn't mean that you may not think you feel it, or that it doesn't seem like there are some situations in your life that you have to be afraid of. The Course is trying to go beneath that to the real answer on the other side of our fear. And there's nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. There is nothing to fear in this situation. You know the situation. There is nothing to fear situation. I am not alone. I am not alone. I am not alone. I am not alone. You are not alone. You're like the baby now. You know you're having to develop new abilities. And you're surrendering now to your greater parent, your greater self. And you're allowing yourself to be loved and nurtured and protected while you're being taught. Nobody's expecting you to be perfect. Nobody's expecting you to do all of this all the time. Remember, your purpose will protect you. It's about having a new purpose. May the course be with you. Folks are available. I appreciate y'all. Can we acknowledge them? I'm glad you are. In another reality, boy, no telling.